17th chapter of the book of Exodus, commencing to read at verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible truth. Exodus chapter 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord. And they pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee all the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And they called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand upon the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Amen. And God will once again bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, humbly and reverently, we come around Your word and we pray by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will open the Scriptures to us and, Lord, help us to understand what You're saying to us. Lord, we pray that we might have perceptive hearts today. We pray that, Lord, You might touch us afresh. And Lord, we might not only see what You're saying, but Lord, may we hear what You're saying. And grant, Lord, that we might do it. And with all our heart and by the power and enablement of the Holy Spirit. Pray that You'll take us out as a people this week to live for Thee. Help us, our God, to live clean lives that will glorify and honor and Thy lovely and Thy precious name. We pray that, Lord, our hearts might be blessed and edified, that we might walk with God. Hear and answer prayer, for we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His glory alone. Amen. Amen. During our meditation in the first part of this chapter last Lord's Day, in this book of Exodus, we came to the place Rephidim with the children of Israel during their wanderings. And we were noticing that there were two significant events that took place at Rephidim. First of all, there was a serious crisis of the shortage of water. And then there was a serious challenge of the scourge of war. And as we studied this chapter here, chapter 17, first of all, we noticed the calamity, verses 1 and 3. All the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and they pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. And verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water. And then secondly, we notice the complaint of the people, verse number 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and say, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And you'll notice here the habitual criticism and the carping of the children of Israel against Moses. But in reality, there was a problem in their own hearts. And all it seems that they were caring for and all they desired for was the satisfying of the flesh and the satisfying of their natural desires. Because you'll notice it says in verse number 3, it says, and the people thirsted for water. And you'll notice in verse number 2, it says, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. That's all they cared for. That's all they wanted. They didn't care about the needs of Moses or of Aaron or of the rest of God's servants. They said, just give us water as long as we are satisfied. Give us water. It was the natural satisfying of the needs of the flesh. There wasn't even a thought of God. There wasn't a thought of God's plan or God's purpose in this. And they didn't say, Moses, what is God telling us? What is God speaking? And what's God saying in the midst of this trial that we are facing? We're faced with another situation where there's no water. But no, all they said to Moses was this, give us water that we may drink. And so therefore it was the satisfying of the flesh. And so vicious was their anger against them that in verse number 4 it says, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Then, of course, we came to the challenge. We came to the challenge because Moses, in the end of verse number 2, he tells the children of Israel, he said, you know, why do you chide with me? He says, wherefore do you tempt the Lord? You see, the outspoken word that is said against me in reality is, it's really you're tempting God. And you're tempting God in verse number 7 by saying, is the Lord among us or not? And of course, God's among us then. Of course, we'll just have what we want. You know, people think, you know, just, you know, whenever I get saved, you know, if God's really with his people, they never have a trial, never have a trouble, never face a heartache, never face a difficult situation. There's something wrong if we do. And of course, they're saying, is the Lord among us or not? An unbelieving heart. And so we have the challenge. And then we were concluding last Lord's Day in verses 4, 5, and 6. And we see the communication because it says, Moses cried unto the Lord and said, what shall I do to this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smitest the river. And take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock. And there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Here we see the communication when Moses cries to God, God answers prayer. He cries. Notice it says, and Moses cried unto the Lord. This was sincerity. He cried out of a heart that was broken. He realized that his back was against the wall, but he realized these people were rising up against him, even to stone him. And yet Moses knew in his heart, I'm doing what God told me to do. I'm in the place where God placed me to be. I've led the children of Israel as God has told me to lead them. And so he cries unto the Lord. But thank God the Lord communicates and the Lord answers. And here's, there's not only sincerity, there's positivity here. God says, Moses, go on. Go on before the people and take with thee all the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thy hand. And he said, listen, I want you to go. And he said, I want you to go and I want you to go to the rock. And I want you to, when you come to the rock in Horeb, he says, I want you to smite the rock and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. You see, God communicates to Moses that the shortage or the lack of water will soon be overcome by the power of God. Once again, Moses will prove, in the midst of another situation, my God has supplied all my need. And God supplied his need in a very unusual place. And God supplied his need in a very unusual way and manner. For God directed Moses to a rock. He said, verse number 6, he said, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb." And God revealed him where he was to go. And God says, "I want you to go to the rock." Notice he didn't say, "I want you to go to a rock." He says, "I want you to go to the rock in Horeb." Now that is suggestive in actual fact that there was a place that was known as the rock. There was a place that was known as the rock in Horeb. But friend, let me say this to you. Knowing the rock existed would do absolutely nothing for to meet the need unless God revealed how that the rock was the answer. There was necessity of a revelation. How that God, by going to the rock, would meet the very need, the water problem that they have. You see, there are many people today, even in the service, and they know Jesus Christ is alive. They know and they believe with their hearts that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world, and that Jesus died for their sin, and that Jesus rose again. But friend, they know about him. They know about the reality of Jesus Christ. But they don't know him. They don't know about the living Savior alive within their own hearts. Maybe there's someone here today and you've got a head knowledge, but you've never had a heart experience. And God says, "I want you to go." And he said, "I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb." And he says, "Thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." You see, this wasn't just a rock. This was the rock. And friend, let me tell you, it was a rock in Horeb. The word Horeb in the Hebrew means dry, means desert, means barren, means desolate. And when you think of that word, here you see, my friend, a place where there's a barrenness and there's a dryness and it's a desert place and it's a desolate place. And the last thing you will expect there is water. A supply of water in the midst of the dryness and the desolateness and the desert. The dryness. And yet God says, "I want you to go there. Into the dry place, the desert place, the desolate place." And God says, there, I'm going to supply your need through the rock. The rock. I believe, you see, my friend, that this rock, it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that? Well, let's just turn to the Scriptures and I'll get you the answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It gives us the answer. And it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did eat the same spiritual meat." You see, God provided the manna. And then it says this, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And so we find indeed that this rock that was provided here in this dry place, in this barren place, in this desolate place, was none other than the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he, the book of the Psalms says, he is the rock of our salvation. But when I think about a rock, the first thing I think about a rock is strength and stability. And thank God, the rock on which we are built, it's unmovable. It's stable. The Lord Jesus, it was said concerning him, upon this rock, that's upon Christ, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God, when a person builds their lives on Christ, when they have received the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a stability, we have a durability in Jesus Christ. You know, there's not only stability, there is durability. You know what that means? It means, praise God, no matter what comes against it, praise God. No matter what is put against it, thank God it'll stand. It'll stand. You remember the Lord Jesus told the story about the man who built his house upon the sand. And then he said the rain came down and the storms blew up and beat upon the house. And it fell. Why? Because it was built upon the sand. But then the Lord Jesus said that a man built his house upon a rock. And now whenever he digged down and he built his house upon this rock, yes, the winds blew. And the rain came down from heaven. Yes, and the storms came against this house. And they beat upon it. But praise God, it said this house remained standing. Why? Because it was built upon the solid rock. There was durability. All the waters of time, friend, that lash against the rock, praise God, will never wash our foundation, our rock away. For our rock still stands. The Bible tells you to see Jesus Christ the same yesterday. And He's the same today. And praise God, He's the same forever. You can depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, man will let us down. Man will fail. The best of men, always remember this, the best of men are men at best. No, friends, listen before the Lord today. Jesus Christ is the one who never changes. Jesus Christ is the one who's always the same. You can depend upon Him because there is a strength, there is a stability. He is unmovable. Praise God, there is durability. He will outlast the storms of time. Hallelujah. And will be the same forever. You can depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the rock was found in a dry place, in a barren place. You know, that speaks to me of the incarnation of Christ, how that the Lord Jesus Christ, He was a root out of a dry ground. But I want you to notice something else about this rock. The Lord said, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock. Because you see, this rock had to be smitten. And as I think about this rock standing there in a dry and a desert and a barren and desolate place, and I think about the incarnation, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ down to this earth, the world to which the Lord Jesus descended and condescended to come. But remember, the rock was smitten. That speaks of His crucifixion. And He said, thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people, that the people may drink. The Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 53, it tells it He was smitten of God and afflicted. Surely He hath borne our griefs, verse number 4. Surely He hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Listen, the smiting of the rock speaks of judgment. And friend, Calvary was a place of judgment. And our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, was smitten by the rod of divine justice that was held in the hand of Almighty God. But listen, my friend, it was only when the rock was smitten that the life-giving water came forth. And that's why John chapter 3 says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, friend, He was smitten for us. We esteemed Him smitten, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And we think of Calvary. We ask ourselves, why was He smitten? Why was He bruised? Why was He wounded? He was wounded for our transgressions. Put your own name in there. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for mine iniquities. But praise God, through His smiting, through the judgment that fell upon Him, and the rod of divine justice that fell upon Him, glory to God, He satisfied divine justice, and praise God, salvation was provided for lost, guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinners. Ah, there's honey in the rock, my brother. And there's water came forth. There's water came forth. You know, whenever I think about the smiting of the rock and the water come forth, there's three things. There was a great supply. Do you read the scriptures about what came out, friend? Do you ever read just what it says in the Word of God concerning what came out of that rock that day? Remember, a rock's a hard thing. Well, just keep your hand there. Go to the book of the Psalms just for a wee moment. And remember, we're speaking about over 2 million people, nearly 3 million people that needed water. Remember, there was cattle there, and they needed water. And therefore, that would take a bountiful supply. It would have to be a great supply that came out of the rock. You see, God took it to an unnatural place, and God used unnatural means. But praise God, when God supplied, my God shall supply all your need. A bountiful supply. You see, I have a tremendous need today. Oh, I tell you, God is a bountiful God. Go to Psalm 78. So let's read what the Scripture says. It says in Psalm 78, verse 15, these words, He cleaved the rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of the great depths. I tell you, this was a great supply. He said He gave them water as out. Listen, He gave them drink as out of the great depths. There was a great need. And there's a great supply. Why? Because there's a great God. That's the answer, friend. Why do we not limit God so much today? It says, as out of the great depths, verse 16, He brought streams also out of the rocks, the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers. There's a great supply. He brought streams out of the rock. Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you this, He'll supply your need. If you're thirsty today, listen, come to the fountain of mercy. Thank God there's a bountiful supply. Go to verse number 20 of the same Psalm. Behold, He smote the rock, that the waters gushed out. Now, this wasn't a wee trickle. The waters gushed out. And the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Glory to God, He can. Whenever the rock was smitten, friend, the Word of God says, listen, the waters gushed out. And you see those streams, you see those rivers, friend. Listen, it says this, they overflowed. Turn to Psalm 105. And what does it say in Psalm 105? Just one wee verse there, verse number 41. It says this, verse 40. The people asked, and He brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places
like a river. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Praise God today. There's a great supply. And then turn to John's Gospel concerning our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. John's Gospel chapter 4. And in John's Gospel chapter 4, it tells us a story about the woman of Samaria. And you go down to verse number 13, and Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Do you see it, friend? The water gushing up. A bountiful supply. The rivers were overflowed. The streams were overflowed. Why? Because this great God, by His great power, has given a great supply. Turn to John's Gospel chapter 7. John's Gospel chapter 7, verse 37. And it says there, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. But friend, let me tell you, the water was only provided when the rock was smitten. You'll never know the well within your soul, friend. You'll never know the bountiful supply of God's provision in everlasting peace and joy and refreshment until, first of all, you visited Calvary. Until you come to the place where Jesus died and shed His blood for you. And realize that you're a lost and a guilty sinner that only Christ can provide the need for. He said, John chapter 10, I am come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Are you thirsty today? I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the cross of Christ one day I came. And friend, let me tell you, there are people in this service today, and you've been drinking at the wells of the water of the world. And Jesus said, listen, he who drinks at the water of the wells of the world, he says, you'll always thirst. But he said, the water that I shall give you, I asked him for water, and he gave me a well. What a great God, friend. What a great supply. Very quickly, it was a gracious supply, because they didn't deserve it. You know, these people were so unbelieving and so hard in heart that whenever they faced their trials, instead of running to God, friend, ran against God's servant and made all accusations. You brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. They accused God's servant. They were fighting God in reality, but they accused God's servant wrongly. But God says, Moses, I want you to smite the rock. And he says, there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. He's a gracious God. How many times have you wandered away from him, friend? How many times you've been running away from God? How many times has God spoken to you? How many times has God dealt with your soul and yet you've
run away or turn your back upon him. And yet God in grace today, he calls you still. It was a great supply. It was a gracious supply. And glory to God, it was a glad supply. You think of the joy that it brought. It says that the people may drink. You see, they were parched. They were dry. But praise God, he refreshed them again. Oh, the joy. Oh, the happiness. Very quickly. Two wee thoughts before we go. The condition, verse 5. He says, go on before the people. You know what that means? Listen, friend. He had to leave unbelief behind. Because the people of Israel, friend, they did not believe. They didn't bring God into it. They had to leave. He had to leave. Listen, he couldn't stay amidst the belief. God says, Moses, I want you to go on. He says, I want you to go on. I want you to go on. He says, before the people, leave the unbelief behind. Leave the hindrances behind. And go on with God. Oh, the unbelief that was in these people's hearts. And friend, if you're going to run with God and if you're going on with God, let me tell you, let us lay aside every weight. You've got to lay aside. You've got to lay aside the weight. I am the sin that doth so easily beset you. You've got to lay it aside. You've got to leave the hindrances behind, friend. Don't carry the hindrances with you. In God's name, leave them behind. And go with God. Go on with God. And listen, he says, listen, I want you to go. And he says, I want to take 70 elders with you. I want you to take the elders with you. And he took the elders with him. Why? Because they would provide a trustworthy testimony that this was God. The people were filled with unbelief. God says, you take the elders with you. Listen, this story has got to be told to them. This story will be rehearsed in their ears of how the water gushed out. That this was not of you, Moses. This was of God. All you did was obey. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Here's the last thought. The commemoration. Verse 7. And they called the name of the place Massa and Meribah. Because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Massa means temptation. Meribah means strife. And God called the name of the place Massa and Meribah. Why? It was a rebuke. It reminded them of the sin they committed. And God called it its rightful name. Listen, friend. Listen to me. God forgives our sin. But there's many times we carry the scars with us for the rest of our days. And God named that place. And he called it exactly what it was. He said, listen, call it Massa Temptation, because there they tempted me. And call it Meribah. That's strife. Because they were striving against the Lord. And God says, listen, let it be a reminder of their sin. Let them learn the lesson. Listen, friend. Learn the lesson. How many times has God to teach us? How many times has God to rebuke us to bring us to the place where we will bow in submission to God and say, God, listen, I've heard you. I've heard you, Lord. I know what you're saying to me. I know what you're saying to me. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sin. Run to Him, friend. Run to Him. And confess your sin, because praise God, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May God give you grace to do that today. Now, in Jesus' name, let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts. And as we journey here with the children of Israel, realize that there's nothing in this journey that's not speaking to our own hearts, because, Lord, how many times have you spoken? How many times have you dealt with us? And, oh God, yet so often in the journey when we're faced another situation, we just lie down in unbelief. Oh God, forgive us our sin. Help us today to learn the lesson. And even as we think of the naming of the place, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, help us to remember the Lord's dealing there. Yes, to remember that we have sinned grievously against you, but to remember that the Lord forgave us, that the Lord supplied the need, that God gave a bountiful supply. It was a great supply. It was a gracious supply. It was a glad supply, but it was the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our lives. Bless us, and for those that are not saved, oh God, help them to run to Calvary today by faith and receive Christ. For those that have wandered away, Lord, please bring them back and restore unto them the joy of their salvation. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for His sake.